What Radio, the music you want.
With your host, D's Dan.
Wait till they get a load of me.
What's up, party people? It's Keys Dan with RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com, coming to you live and in living color from the Radio What Studios. And this is my podcast, What Makes You Famous. It's an extension of the RadioWhat.com internet radio station that I've been running for quite some time. And if you need DJ services, where do you go? DJLittleRock.com. Check availability, get a free price quote, and maybe you could have me, yeah, me, at your next event. I like to party with the people. Video dance parties, karaoke jams. Oh, I miss my karaoke jams. Weddings, corporate events, you know, we're going to break out of here real soon and get out and party and play music and dance and have fun and sing and all that. Yeah, we are. Today on the program, I have Jordan Hobbs, a.k.a. Iverson Gray. Who's that? Who's that? Well, you're going to find out more about him in the next few minutes. Stick around. This week's shows, this is the part of the program where I put in what shows I'm doing this week. Due to the novel COVID-19 coronavirus, I have no public shows, no private shows. Sadly, I'm stuck indoors with the rest of you, you know, just hanging out. But thankfully, I found some kind of creative way to make my presence known and learn from people still and interact with people. And that's my podcast, my What Makes You Famous podcast that you're listening to and possibly watching right now. Because, you know, I've been putting it on YouTube now. And now that I have the technology to record my and my Skype and even Zoom program, I can record them and put them on YouTube. So if you have the opportunity to watch the visual, you can watch it on my YouTube channel at Keys Dan. I think it's marked RadioWhat.com. You'll see that along the banner. So yes, it'll be on YouTube there. Yeah. Something different. You'll get to see the faces of the people that I'm talking to. And I get to see the faces. It's the next best thing to being there. How about that? All right, well, let's get to it with Jordan Hobbs, a.k.a. Iverson Gray, Skyping Iverson Gray now. Iverson Gray.
How you doing, man?
Oh, it's good, man. It's good to see you. It's good to see your face, man. Hey, you know, I'm glad that I started doing these things on Skype, you know, because we haven't been able to get together with people, and it's nice to see a face now while we're locked up here inside. So, all right. So, you know, when I met you in Little Rock in front of the coffee shop, you know, I saw you and it was a good chance meeting. But ever since then, I've looked you up and you have a lot going on, man. Tell the people a little idea of what a Jordan Hobbs and Iverson Gray is.
Absolutely. So, Jordan Hobbs is basically the business mind behind Iverson Gray. Iverson Gray is an image I've been building for about the last year and a half since moving in and out of our house shelter, which is where I just moved from, was my last place of residence. It just come to me in my mind about what it is that I'm trying to come together to do with this character. I want the full thing to be, you know, gray. And the reason why is because gray is neutral. Gray is a mature yet stylish, you know, color. You know what I'm saying? And it also speaks about wisdom. Gray, it speaks a few different things to you. You see what I'm saying? And the Iverson part of it is derived, of course, from Allen Iverson, the basketball player. He's one of those guys that's like unapologetically hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Just talking about practice.
That's right. That's right. You know what you're talking about, Dan.
Now, if you haven't heard that one, look up Iverson, Allen Iverson, looking up, talking about practice. He's the basketball player, most famously known for the Miami Heat. And he just went off, you know, because I guess they were trying to make him to do a practice. And he felt like he was so good at that particular moment in time that he said, "It's not, you're just talking about practice. It's not a game. It's practice." And you know, and that's a good analogy for life. You know, this is not a game. It's just practice for whatever is coming up. We're always practicing to do, you know, for something. Like you started as a Jordan Hobbs, but you are so much more. You're an Iverson Gray now. That's development of a character. So I'm guessing that part of your persona is acting. Is that where you're at?
That's one of the talents that I have been trying to hone for quite a while. Acting, public speaking, of course. And then, you know, I dabbled and dabbled in the modeling thing a little bit. My mom kind of wanted me to do that when I was younger, but I wasn't really feeling the intense structure of it all with the modeling. Art, you know, just period. You know, I cut hair and all kinds of things. I do designs and all kinds of stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, for the people that aren't watching this on YouTube, because I will put it up on YouTube, I'm recording the video as well as the audio. The audio will be put out as a podcast, but the video is up there on YouTube. So if you don't see him, he is a pretty man. And his mom had the right idea to put him in modeling. I think that would have been a great, yes, he did a little eyebrow twitch for you. For those just listening to the audio, he's got those bright whites and just, you know, just a winning smile. For sure. But he's a character, man. It was a good chance meeting, and we're finding out more about you. Come on, man. Tell the people, where are you from, man? I mean, where are you from? And tell me about your home life and how you became who you are, man. We got some time.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. Okay. So, you know, for lack of a better phrase, I was born by a river, Dan. I was born here in Little Rock, Arkansas, man, at the doctor's building, 1996. And ever since, you know, even the same day that I was born, it's just been an interesting ride all the way. My aunt always tells me about the story about the day that I was born. She had been in a car wreck in Dallas and had to be airlifted to a hospital and couldn't be at my birth. But it's like immediately after that, you know, shift, that travel, you know, it's like, you know, immediately after I was born, I was moved, me and my family was moved to Marianna, Arkansas. So my hometown is originally in the Delta, right in a little town called Marianna, Arkansas. And they call it Black Swamps. It's a nickname for it called Black Swamps. If you ever been down there and you want to get cool with the locals, you definitely mention Black Swamps.
All right, so tell me a little bit more about the Black Swamps. Was that someplace that you got to play outside and in the Black Swamps, or was that someplace you didn't want to go? Sounds taboo. Ooh, don't go there.
Man, I tell you the truth. Taboo is definitely a good word to describe it. You know, it's a lot of things that go on, you know, in little small towns that, you know, they're so in, you're in such close quarters with so many people, you know, most of the people there are your cousins. So kind of, you know, it can be a little taboo at times, but at the same time, Marianna is the source of my family's, you know, growth, you know, not just my family, but a lot of families alike. Like, a lot of people don't know these things, but Conway Twitty spent a lot of time in Marianna. He actually was dating a girl in Marianna for quite some time. Al Green was went to school in Lee County, which is in the same county that Marianna is in. So, you know, Al Green helped march alongside my family to get us a community clinic there in Marianna. So, you know, when you talk about rich history, when you talk about some great people come out of there, Rodney Slater of the Bill Clinton administration, the director of transportation, even now, there's one cat, one of my close cousins, his name is, they call him Bankroll Freddy. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him, anybody's watching. Bankroll Freddy, he's an aspiring artist right now, got signed with the label QC out of Atlanta. We have this car show that we do every year in Marianna called Marianna in May on Memorial Weekend. On Memorial Weekend, the town goes from 1,200 to 12,000 easily in one day. Marianna in Memorial Weekend, May 23rd, I believe. That's when we have our homecoming and everything. That little town, man, we turn it around. Other than that, you know, when I was young, Mariano was just like, you know, the place that we met most of our lifelong friends. You know, it's a place of not only just rich history, but just a place of love. You know, it's a, at the same time, it's a place of poverty. It's a place of deprivation. You see what I'm saying? All kind of hardships that we suffered through in Mariano, we've had to suffer to get together. Because I want to tell you one thing, Dan. Don't ever, if you ever decide to have kids, I don't know if you have kids. Do you have kids?
I got two girls.
Two girls. It's good you got girls. Okay, so this probably won't, you know, pertain to them too much. But young men, you have to be careful with your young men with gynecomastia simply because soy products are really prevalent in our everyday lives right now. In the foods, in the clothes that they make, in a lot of the beverages, you'll see soy in a lot of the beverages, condiments. And what soy is a high estrogen, it's really concentrated with estrogen, a female hormone, right? Sure. So, Mariano, Arkansas has a random, you know, not so fun fact, one of those taboo facts about Mariano. Being that it's like so overly embellished with soy, a lot of the young men develop gynecomastia at really early ages down there in Mariano. And that's one of the things I had to suffer through when I was young. So when you ask me about Mariana, I'm telling you some really mixed emotions and deep memories come up. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I got to look that up. Gynecomastia. Okay, I see. It's an enlargement or swelling of the breast tissue in males. Okay, so I guess as a kid, you know, man boobs. And me as a fat man, I got man boobs anyway. But is that something that you struggled with? How does that present itself?
You know, so... I'm telling you what, this is exclusive information. I'm a really open person, so I don't mind telling you. Gynecomastia presents itself first with hormonal, you know, shifts in the young man. So usually when a young man would start puberty around 12, 14, I actually started puberty around 15 years old because I had to start taking testosterone injections because of this, because soy was in our milk, soy was in our burgers, soy was in our spaghetti, soy was, you know, in the snacks that we ate. You see what I'm saying? Because soy is grown in Mariana. So first you start developing late puberty, and then after a while you start to, you know, your body starts to produce more estrogen than it does testosterone, which can cause a list of problems. Mm-hmm. Light voices, longer eyelashes and eyebrows, where most young men would be looking more rugged, you know, the ones that are affected with soy and estrogen, sound timid, you know, have more shapely bodies than young men are supposed to. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you mention taboo, those things hit in my head right away. Yeah. So those are some of the deepest, you know, things about, you know, Mariana. Is there anything like, you know, else you want to know about him? I can go on for days about
Mariana. No, man, you can talk forever. This portion of the podcast brought to you by the Mariana Historical and maybe Tourism. I don't know. Maybe they don't want you to know about that stuff in Mariana. And, you know, there's lots of little pockets, small towns all over the world, really, all over this country. You'll find little tidbits of information about what's going on in these things. People don't know. You know, everyone has a story. And every town has a story, man. And I'm finding out more about you, Iverson Gray, man. And yeah, okay, that was a part of your psyche that definitely had to affect you somewhat. You know, it says it's caused by an imbalance between hormones, the estrogen and the testosterone. So you had to have testosterone injections, or maybe take it by orally or something to kind of help you grow and develop properly.
Yeah, so sure, man. And first off, Dan, just as Iverson Gray myself, I want to build a fan base. My goal is to build a fan base of people who are more intimately involved in the person that I am. Mm-hmm. Not so much people who just see an image and, you know, subject judgment according to things that they don't really know about. So I want people to have actual intimate facts about me, which is why I go so deeply into things. Now, facts That is very true what you said there, Dan. I definitely had to take injections. I started them when I was about 15 years old. I had gone to the Children's Hospital. Shout out to Children's, man. They can do miracles. Children's Hospital, man, they flipped my life all the way around. I thought I was going to be going down a dark path, but hey, Children's brought me on up and made the day sunny again. You hear me, Dan?
We're finding out these days in particular who the real heroes are, the first responders, the doctors, nurses, the police, the, you know, all the people that are out there helping to save the world, man. It's not, we're finding out who is the most important people, the food service people, the, you know, people in the grocery store, your restaurant workers, people that are taking out your trash, man. These are important things, people that are delivering your basic needs to you while we're stuck inside, you know, in this particular time. Now, I mean, hey, you're talking about me. I like to listen to podcasts. I like to listen because I get to learn something, and you never know what you're going to get when you get into a podcast. Sometimes you'll see, oh yeah, here's a story with Iverson Gray. Let's find out. And they're going to get some knowledge that maybe they didn't even know they were going to get. So you can go as in depth and as expound on whatever you want. There is no time limit on these things. You know, I'll go, you know, for hours talking about you and your experiences and what you think about the world right now, Iverson Gray. Let's go, man.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, man. So I believe my doctor was Dr. Bardell at the time of the Lee County Cooperative Clinic. And Dr. Bardell, I met him, real cool shaggy guy. He's probably about 5'7", 5'8". Real cool shaggy white guy with the long blonde hair. You know, he was like, hey, man, how you doing? You know, he came in with the perfect personality. He's one of those doctors that you want to go see. Shout out to Dr. Bardell. Met him. He became my PC, my primary care physician. And he, you know, was always so inspiring. He was like, dude, I don't know how you not, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know how you haven't taken over your school yet, you know, with the ladies and everything. But after we get this taken care of, you won't have anything to worry about. You know what I'm saying? And that's a fact. You know what, Dan? Because after I learned more about, you know, like you said, you know, got more information on, after I learned more about my testosterone deficiency and got help with it, I came back to Dr. Bardell probably about 8 months after having started my injections. And he was like, he came in the door. He was like, just a minute, young man. We're waiting on a young man named Jordan to come in. I was like, You funny. That's how drastically I had changed in that short period of time. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I mean, how did this affect you as a young man? I mean, I'm guessing that the other kids in school could see that there was something going on in you, Mr. Jordan Hobbs, Mr. Iverson Gray. There was something going on as a young man with this kind of affliction. I mean, how were they treating you?
Oh, man. I guess I would say, I had to take it back to the end of fourth grade. I've been a traveler all my life, on the road ever as far as long as I can remember. I've been traveling down the freeway. So I had just moved back from Chicago, Illinois, and moved back to Lee County, Mariana, Arkansas. And I had started to kind of experience some, you know, hardships because I was living in a homeless shelter when I was 9 years old in the fourth grade in Chicago with my mom. And that just, you know, really took me down a really depressive stage after they, you know, my father and mother had divorced. You know, it just kind of got weird, you know what I'm saying? So I started eating a lot, started, you know, gaining weight, started getting heavy set. And then, you know, estrogen, you know, it kind of just set in by that time. So I got to Mariana, fourth grade. I say it was more like unwanted comedy. That's the best way I could describe it.
Kind of cut out for a second there. Let's see if we can get you back. There he is. Okay, he's back. It's unwanted comedy. Go ahead. That's where we left off.
Yeah, let me put this phone on Do Not Disturb, man, because my mom had called.
Hey, you got to take care of your mama.
Yeah, I know. I love the morning back. But yeah, so speaking of that, I'm glad she was brought up. Yeah, she had been my biggest, you know, supporter when it came to getting things taken care of too. I didn't just go through all of this by myself, Dan.
Of course. Mom, you're in fourth grade.
I was in fourth grade. I didn't decide, you know, which, you know, primary care physician I wanted. I didn't decide what road, you know, to, you know, take my life. My mom was there, and she was always my biggest supporter. I want to definitely give a shout out to my mom on that. Because once things start to kind of go awry, you know, she would always, you know, keep it, you know, a sharp focus on what to do next to get things taken care of. So after we moved from Chicago back to Mariana, it was a lot of like unwanted comedy by the kids. You see what I'm saying? They were just, you know, joning, roasting a lot, you know, talking shit, you know what I'm saying? So it was just, this all the time. You know how kids are. Kids can really be heavy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Kids are cruel, man. They're going to find whatever affliction you're having, whatever problems, whatever fears you have, they're going to dig on them for sure. I was definitely fat butt, you know, definitely. Hey, Mom. And I would go home and I would talk to my mom and I'd say, Mom, the kids call me fat. And then she'd say, shut up and clean your plate.
Okay.
Finish your food.
Yeah. You know, hey Dan, I'm glad you brought that up, man. You know what's going on, man. You can feel it. You can feel it personally. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. Everybody's got something. I don't care how pretty these people are, boy or girl. There's always going to be something that a little kid is going to try to pick on. And you know, when we grow up, we find out that any haters. I don't think I've ever met a hater that has ever been doing better than me. Okay, they're hating on you because they see something in you that they may want, or maybe there's something different about you, but they don't see what is inside you, the value of you, and everyone has value. But go ahead, continue, man. Tell how mama helped you out through this time.
Yeah, mama, I'm gonna tell you what. I didn't really understand it when I was that age, mainly because, like I said, you know, after the divorce, I was just kind of just mad at the world, you know, so I blamed her for a lot of, you know, situations that happened in my life. And now that I think back, you know, even just being 23 years old, now that I think back to this short period of time ago, I have so much respect for how resilient and tenacious and, you know, strong-willed my mother is. She never let, you know, my bickering or my, you know, griping get to her. And at the same time, I was always her supporter too, you know, because like once your father leaves out of the house and you're, you know, a young man who knows how to work, I started working at 9 years old too. After that happened, you know, they broke up. I just kind of, you know, wanted to start, you know, getting my mind focused. So I started working at 9 years old with my uncle in his garage. So I had always been her supporter as well, you know. She just never let me, you know, stay depressed. Had I ever gotten depressed, she never let me stay depressed. She always had somebody for me to talk to. She always had me involved in social work groups. She always had a way for me to get to school and back. If anybody ever bothered me at school, she would show up personally and sit and talk with the teacher so she can make sure things got taken care of. Shouts out to my mom. Shouts out to all the good moms out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So mom was pretty much primarily raising you. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, man. Dan.
I mean, where was dad in the picture?
Hey, Dan.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm telling you like this, man. When my dad gets a little tipsy and he can't remember what my name is, he calls me three of my brothers' names usually between Chris, Maurice, and
All right. Obviously, he's getting phone calls. He cut out a little bit. Iverson Gray, Jordan Hobbs. Now, Jordan Hobbs is the man's real name, but Iverson Gray is the persona that he's developing. All right. And he's back. All right. I see his smiling face again. That's good.
I don't know what's going on. I got the phone on Do Not Disturb. I don't know how she's still getting away to be in contact with me.
Mom's going to break through. I don't care, man. Mom's breaking through. She knows you're talking about her.
I'm tell you what, she is strong-willed. But where did I lose you at, Dan?
No, that's it. I mean, you just cut out for about 10 seconds or so. But you were saying about, you know, brothers and sisters and moms and dad. You know, where was your dad in all this?
Oh, so my dad, he's a diehard Chicago native. Mm-hmm. You know, he spent some time in Mariana back and forth. I can go so far as to say that Mariana is one of his hometowns. But, you know, his heart is in Chicago and has always been. That's where he is now. He actually lives in a little town called Calumet City, right outside of Chicago. So my dad had kind of just mostly been in his own place, you know, after they divorced. He kind of just, you know, been over there, you know. I see him from time to time. And that's fine because he's never been disrespectful to me. I never had any reason to be upset at him, you know. Personally, you know, I guess anyone could be upset at them, you know, at your father for divorcing your mom. But, you know, when you're a slow to react type person like I am, kind of easygoing, it doesn't, you don't try to find problems. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, my father had been in Chicago, you know, he's a blues lover, you know what I'm saying? And he's one of those guys that just love to have fun, you know, probably a little too much fun sometimes, but, he's a great guy. You know, and go ahead.
No, that's it. I mean, what else did you get from your dad? I mean, he liked the blues, and Chicago's definitely a place to be, part of the blues for sure. I mean, with the Blues Brothers, and they got plenty of shows. The House of Blues is out there. So, you know, what else? He's into having fun. What else did you? What other knowledge did you gain from him?
Oh man, I gained most of my personality from my father. I'm gonna just be honest with you. All of his kids have the curse of his laugh. So if you ever get a real laugh out of me sometimes, you'll know it. It's like, you know, he got this, it's just like when you hear something funny real fast and it just strikes you, it's just one laugh that you just can't help from getting out. And everybody has this same type of laugh, but the one that he gave to all of his kids is that it's like this.
Now that's a laugh, man. That's a laugh that's made to be on stage.
Oh God. You can't help it. You'll hear him from across town almost. I'm telling you. It's like you can hear it in your heart when he just laughs. You're like, oh yeah. Yeah, he doing something funny. It's something going on.
It's good to have that kind of laugh in your, that something, that laugh that man, if you were self-conscious, you wouldn't want to have somebody hear that laugh. But yeah, that means you have joy, man. That's great. And I'm glad that you got that joy from him, genetically or otherwise.
Oh man. Yeah. Joy without a doubt. He is a very joyful person. No one can ever take that from him. And he loves his vegetables. He loves to cook. My dad is actually like, you know, like it seemed like he's like, you know, a Chef Emerald protege or something like that. Every time I'm calling him, oh yeah, Jody, I got a little stir fry on the stove. I'm, you know, boiling a little jasmine rice right now. I got some butter sliced up. I mean, who just slices of butter and put them on the side? Like, he's that type of guy.
Chicago, you might think that's the North, but man, he's cooking like he's from the South. Lots of butter. Put butter and oil and everything. That's good cooking, yes, right there.
Yes, sir. And don't get him wrong. He's gonna have him a poke chop or two. I'm talking about P-O-K-E, a poke chop. He got to have his poke chop from time to time.
Yes, please. Poke Salad Annie. I remember her. That's a great song. Poke.
Poke Salad Annie. All right.
All right, man. Laughing and giggling. We digress. We go down different paths, man, and we're finding out more. Now, you said that dad, Chicago, and then brothers and sisters. How many other kids did he have, or do you have brothers and sisters?
When I tell you he called me number 13 when he can't figure out my name, I mean that. Like, to this day. Man, to this day, we don't know how many times he done laid his hat down at somebody's home.
Oh my gosh.
We have no clue.
These are like Bob Marley numbers, man. That man had so many kids before he passed. He had, you know, he just didn't know what to do. And he left them all over the Caribbean, including Miami, where I'm from, and South Florida. I used to meet up with the Marleys all the time. So you got Hobbs everywhere, maybe?
Oh no, see his kids are different. They have different last names. So a few of them carry the Simmons name. I think Maurice carries Simmons. I think Little Runny carries Simmons. But my sister, Epitome, she carried Roberts. Her name is Epitome Roberts. My brother Nikolai, I believe he carried Smith, if I'm not mistaken. So they're, you know, they're different last names, and you know, down in history, as history continues, you know, if we kind of stayed out of touch, I'm sure we would like lose the connection with each other because of that reason, which is why I'm really big. My mom has me like this. She has me really big on history and your family lineage and getting connected with your people. See what I'm saying?
Well, that's good, man. You need to have at least one person who is a historical person that gets your family tree down. I know with the internet and social media, we can keep close together, but it's nice to have a historian in the family. At one point, that was my aunt, Beba, but then her sister, my grandmother, Mati, has taken it over since Beba, you know, passed away. So it's good to have one that keeps all the pictures and a good log of where your family tree came from. You know, your roots, man, they're very important when you want to look back. And family in itself is very important. They're the ones that are going to back you up more than anything else. Now, you could brag on your brothers and sisters. Tell the people what they're up to. What good stuff are they into? And who are you the closest to? And what kind of trouble did you get into?
Yeah, no, so, yeah, actually, they are some really impressive people. My brother, Ronnie, he's also an artist and producer. He has a label, let me say it wrong. His label is Currency Cartel, with dollar signs where the S's are, Currency Cartel. And he has been, you know, producing music for quite some time. My brother, Maurice, was just actually released from prison, and he hit the ground running, you know, running the family store. There in Milwaukee, they have a clothing store. And when I tell you, he apparently designs clothes as well. He designs clothes and sport apparel and things like that. And he's going to eventually start his own apparel company is what his plan is. I think he's going through the motions to get that taken care of as we speak. My sister Epitome, she has worked the same job. Man, I don't know anybody with this much endurance. I don't know anybody with this much job endurance. When I say it's not a career, it's an actual job. This woman has had her job for the last 18 years straight, and I tip my hat to her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody who can just be that satisfied with what they're doing for 18 years, I tip my hat to them, because it takes a real adult to be that way.
Well, that's good. It's good. She has staying power.
Yeah, absolutely. She has that. She has that. I wish I had that, man.
Well,
I'm not going to lie to you.
You're probably like me, man. I get bored pretty quickly. I mean, I'm glad that I still get to talk into microphones. I've been doing this since 1986, in one way or another, talking into a microphone. And thankfully, with the way things are, now that I'm off terrestrial radio, I still got my online radio sitting behind me there, and I still get to do podcasts and talk to people and learn from people. And that's what I'm doing right now, is learning from you, Iverson Gray. You know, but I'm, man, 18 years in one job. Some people can do it. Some people can do it, and they're going to get a pension.
I'm sure she's gonna get a pension. You know what I'm saying?
That's good, man. Well, I hope she gets out early enough to where, you know, because I've heard people just, they work and work and work, and they finally retire, and then it's like, now what? You know, I'd get bored if I wasn't doing anything.
Oh my god, man. I still ask her to this day. I'm like, you still at your job? Boy, you know I ain't going nowhere. She got that little bitty voice. Boy, you know I ain't going nowhere.
Uh-oh. That's the impression of Epitome. Perfect.
Exactly.
All right. Well, keep going, man. Keep bragging on the fam and anything else that's going on.
Hey, I want to ask you, man. You said you've been on the microphone since the 80s.
Yeah, I'm 51 years old, man. 1986. I started a radio program school at WKPX 88.5, your alternative radio station, with Piper High School, a part of Broward College. And I started spinning records back then, and it was great, man. But even before that, I was always the DJ for the high school parties. So I had a record player, and I would, you remember Belial in House Party? I felt like I was that, except hopefully without the dragon breath. Hopefully without, you know, but then, you know, they would always invite me to parties. Hey, Dan, you going to bring your records and your record players over to my party? And I said, yeah, if you help me. Nobody ever helped me. Here I am dragging a wagon down the street to whatever's house party and playing records. But nobody ever helped me set up. Nobody ever helped me take that stuff down. I dragged it all myself. And it's still the same today, man. I dragged this, my equipment over to a place, set it up, rock the house, tear it back down, go home.
Hey, and as long as you enjoy it, as long as you and the people are enjoying yourself as a unit, you're doing your job, man.
Sometimes I think maybe I'm getting too old for this, but then I'll do a prom or a high school party of some kind, and the kids still seem to enjoy it. So, hey, I guess I'm doing all right. I bring the lights. I bring the show. And you say that you're kind of a showman as well, DJ, producer, or what is it you're really into? What is Iverson Gray becoming?
So what Iverson Gray is becoming is through and through is an independent artist. I taught myself, you know, with the help of my nephew. You know, he had the software. It was called Audacity. It's one of the softwares that I use. He was working with Audacity, and he was, you know, just tweaking stuff a little bit. And I was like, man, it sounds interesting, but like he hadn't caught the ear of it yet. I just always had the ear by myself. You know, to be able to catch notes, catch sounds and stuff like that, and see what things need to be changed to sound good. Because I have other friends who used to produce back in the day. I was, you know, just in my old apartment that I used to have. And he'd come and stay with me sometime. And we just, you know, make little songs, little playing songs, you know. Nothing serious. Stuff that needed a lot of work. And one day, I just decided to just sit down with one of the pieces and, you know, got bored. You know, was stuck in the house. The walls was talking to me, and I had a laptop in front of me. I was like, I might as well do something. You know what I'm saying? So I taught myself how to produce. And living at our house, you know, with a lot more boredom going on, being in a barrack setting, you just, you know, have a lot of free time. I taught myself to perfect my producing skills. So producing is one of the things. Songwriting. Now, songwriting is one that came more naturally to me instead of having to be taught so much. So I'm a lit head. What I mean by that is I love English. I love really good statistic and historic books and stuff like that to talk about a lot of motivational and inspirational things and ways that people who are successful got to the places that they are. I love those type of books. And I used to score like eights and a half and nines and stuff on my essays back in school. Now, eight sounds low, but the scoring range is from...
All right, I lost you at the scoring range. I got to remind myself, the scoring range. All right, that's where I lost you, at the scoring range. I'm not even sure what that is, eights or anything else. Continue with that story, but explain a little bit more. What is eights and all that? I'm not familiar even.
Right. So, no, the scoring range for most essays, I was in AP literature, advanced placement literature. When you're getting scored on your essays, what the teachers are taught to go off their rubric, and the scoring bracket in their rubric is from one being like the lowest quality essay and eight being like the highest quality essay. I used to always score between 6.5, 8. Sometimes I top out and do like an 8.5 if it was something really like inspirational and, you know, moved the audience when they, you know, we had to read it out loud and stuff like that. Because reading it aloud was a part of our essay scoring, too. So which is why public speaking became one of my favorite things, because I love to. I'm trying to stop myself from saying that. I love to, you know, inspire people. I love for my influence and the things that I've been taught to be able to touch someone else and help them out. So that's what I noticed about myself. Writing, it's one of my things. So songwriting, essay writing, producing, it just makes sense that since I can sing too, singing was something I've done since I was like 4 years old. My grandma always tell me, she said, baby, when you was about 4 years old, you was back there in that bathroom. I tell you what, baby, I heard you. I heard you singing in that tub. And I said, that baby going to be a singer. And she'll say that to this day, Dan, to this day.
All right. So what kind of singing were you doing back then? But before that, I mean, you're talking about saying the ums and the ohs. When I went back to radio school to kind of update myself on the digital format, and we'll get into Audacity as opposed to that between Cool Edit and Audacity. But I remember my vocal coach trying to beat the ums out of me. Now, this guy, my vocal coach in Miami at the Connecticut Schools of Broadcasting, and he would have beat my butt for saying just then. Bob Wilson, he was from the movie with Ice Cube. No, it was Ice Cube. Mo Money, Mo Problems. Is that the movie? But his name was Bob Mo Wilson. Money? Yeah, maybe it was Mo Money, but he played the jeweler. And I went back and I watched that movie, and I remember he was the jeweler. And spoiler alert, he gets shot. You know, with the jewels. That's the guy who taught me vocal coaching. But yeah, you're right, man. Public speaking, don't say just leave it silent.
Yeah, no.
But I mean,
that's a big no-no in public speaking. You got other program, you know, like other groups and stuff like that that really teach about that too. Like Toastmasters. Toastmasters is a really big. Look at that. I'm gonna be all day now, Dan.
Well, that's just it. We're having a conversation. Yeah, we're having a conversation back and forth. It's more informal. If you were up public speaking, maybe in front of 100 people, you might be more wary of being more affected and trying not to say while you're thinking of the next thing to say. You know, and I did say that very affected.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So Toastmasters is one of those things too that they really go into the public speaking. One of my friends, Nicole, shout out to Nicole. She had, you know, invited me one day. She, you know, saw something in me. She was like, you know what? Let's try and take you up here to this Toastmasters thing with me one day. I was like, okay, cool. You know,
what is Toastmasters?
These people sound like movie stars. When they open their mouth, it's like you should be paying them to speak. You see what I'm saying? Toastmasters is really, really a great program for people who want to learn how to public speak.
Is it online or something you could find in a website?
So I'm sure they do have online. Yeah, I'm sure they Toastmasters is international. So I'm sure 100% that they have a website, Toastmasters.
Okay.
And they have local groups all over the place, like local groups in Hot Springs, Little Rock. I think they have some. I think there's eight or nine of them. I don't quote me on this, but I think it's about eight or nine of them throughout Arkansas. You know.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Be Texas, you know, Tennessee.
I just looked it up. There are many. It says something. It's like 92 affiliates of some kind for Toastmasters in the 25 miles from Conway, Arkansas, to wherever. There's at least. Oh my God. Yeah. There's so many. But I'm not even sure what they do. Whether they teach people how to speak, or do they give maybe motivational speeches, or all of the above?
Yeah, they do all of the above. They teach people how to speak, but the setting of the group, which is why Toastmasters is so dynamic and unique from other groups. Everyone in the group, so it may be a class of 5 people, or there could be a class of 30 people. Every time that they have a class or a meeting or, you know, whatever you want to call it, they alternate shifts. They alternate roles throughout the group. So it may be someone as a clock holder one day. It may be someone as a judge one day. It may be someone as a scorekeeper one day. It may be someone as a notesman one day. So everyone gets to feel the same type of influence, the same type of leadership throughout the group. You know what I'm saying? It's a certain family sense of sharing about Toastmasters that makes it so positively influential on the people who get involved in it.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. And how much did you get involved with that? How far did you go? And when did that start?
Well, hey, I'm not going to lie to you. I went one session, man. Mm-hmm. And I was sold from there. But only reason why I didn't get so involved in Toastmasters as I initially wanted to, because like my life at the time had took a, was still in a direction of me building myself back up. I was staying at our house, just didn't really have much time because it's a working, you're a working homeless individual. So the shelter requires you to be there at certain times, even though they allow you to take out to go to meetings and stuff like that. I just had so many obligations and would be so tight on my time and would try to keep my schedule fit a certain way. And I just didn't have the opportunity to give myself to Toastmasters as much as I'd like to. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, Iverson Gray, sometimes one is all you need, a little bump. And there is a financial aspect to it, man. If you don't have I don't even know how much it costs, but I'm guessing it's hundreds. You know, it's not cheap to become something. You're going to gain something out of it, hopefully. But sometimes one is all you need. All it took for me to get get into weddings and DJing parties was going to one wedding. I went to one wedding and I saw the DJ up there and I saw what he was doing. I said, you know what? I think I can do that. So I got hired out to do a wedding that same year, and it worked out just fine. It was great. So sometimes one is all you need to get inspired, and you got inspired, man. So
Man, we're going to have to make some connections too, man. We're going to me and you, we're going to have to, like, you know, exchange numbers with a few people that you know and folks that I know too, man, because I'm sure, you know, I know some up and coming artists and, you know, some people that could probably, you know, help you out with, you know, what you have going, and I'm sure you have some people, you know, hey, let's make a connection, man. Let's make some connections.
Well, that's the thing about these podcasts, the What Makes You Famous podcast. It's mutually beneficial. You talking to me and telling me about your life and what you're doing is giving me content for my podcast. And in turn, it's going to live on the internet forever and ever. So when people are looking you up, they're going to go, well, what's this all about? And then maybe they'll click in on it. Maybe they'll listen. That's right. That's right. And all the ladies, the sugar mamas, as I saw on your Facebook page, they'll be looking you up and possibly see a little bit more and go, wait, I got to find out more about what this guy is into. And maybe you can inspire others to do what you're doing and maybe get involved with you and collaborate with you. So, yeah. Yeah. It's mutually beneficial, man. It's people helping people.
That's right. That's right. Hey, and shout out to all of sugar mamas that's helping out their sugar babies, man. I tell you what, that's a good example of people helping people right there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
there's a side of Iverson Gray who's somewhat of a player, I tell you what. And to all the sugar mamas out there, if you need some assistance in that area, I am free at the time. So feel free to contact Dan if you need to. Somebody will get me in contact with you.
Well, I mean, that's on a personal level, but on a business level, a sugar mama could also be called an angel investor or people that throw money at people, you know, invest in people's ideas and dreams. And you have ideas and dreams that might need a little bit of capital. And if they have some capital to throw your way, hey, you're going to take a little bit, man. And then probably, you know, hopefully you're going to turn that around, make it into something creative and give them back their investment plus interest. And you know, so you can call it a sugar mama. You can call it an angel investor. You can call it just somebody who's got a couple extra bucks that was blessed a little bit more. And they're trying to help you make your dreams come true. Hey, didn't we just say people helping people? Yeah, I think we did.
Yes, sir. And Dan, I tell you what, I would happily reciprocate that same energy back to them at my earliest convenience.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you're not the kind of person that's going to take somebody's money and then, you know, just run with it. No, you're going to make something out of it. If you have something that needs investing, you know, for example, if you need some new software, some new computer equipment, people these days, if they have a laptop, a microphone, and, you know, just a minimal amount of equipment, maybe under $1,000, you could have your own little recording studio in your own home, in your own domicile, and start creating something. So for anyone who doesn't think that they can create, shoot, I'm here in one room of my house and I'm creating something, you know, right here talking to you. So it can be done, man. I'm sure you have recording equipment at your house. You're recording off your cell phone. All you need is a phone and you can start recording, man, video and audio, right? No, he's got his blue microphone.
And my little makeshift sound pop filter.
That's right. No plosives here.
My headphones. and my headphones, they go with me everywhere, man.
That's it. You got a recording studio that can go everywhere. I mean, I know we're only a half hour away from each other. If it wasn't for this pandemic that's going on right now, I would have come to you with a couple of microphones, my portable equipment, and we'd have done this face to face. But as it is, hey, it is what it is. We're going through something right now. We're all pretty much locked up indoors, trying to stay away, stay vigilant of certain things, and make sure that that we stay alive. And so, yeah, eventually.
Stand alive.
He told you he was a vocalist, and there it is, proven. He did it. We're going to get beat down for that.
Dan, I was playing, man. I was playing.
Hey, even playing, that was very entertaining. No, but yeah, but continue. I mean, you know, how things are progressing with the Iverson Gray persona and what you want to do with that. You have your recording equipment. What have you done with it? You had Audacity, and I'm looking at the website. I think I might have used Audacity back in 2003, or at least like an original start of it. And I know that my school, the Connecticut Schools of Broadcasting, they had Cool Edit, which was bought by Adobe Audition, which is the software that I use still today. And looking at the Audacity's website, the program looks pretty much the same. Does it come with beats, or do you have to import beats, or a little bit of both?
Yeah, so you can import beats. I think it comes with some, like, you know, how most softwares do. They come with, like, little default beats and stuff like that that aren't really, like, you know, that great quality or anything like that. But when you have a software that you can import beats from, you know, YouTube or wherever you get your beats from, you got you a good gem right there. It's a great tool to have. Audacity has blessed me with a few different songs. As I mentioned before, my writing is one of my biggest things. So I don't just write, you know, one type of music. I don't just go with one type of flow. My one of my closest cousins, he always stays on me. He's like my motivating coach. You know, he keeps me focused on making sure that I stay diverse with what I'm recording. I make sure I stay diverse with what I'm writing, and make sure I stay diverse with how I deliver the words. His favorite thing to say to me, his name is Pierre, by the way. His favorite thing to say to me is, "All right, you got that flow, now switch it up. He always telling me to switch it up. I always, you know, if you're going to be a chameleon, you got to make sure that you can adapt, right? So that's one of the things. I'm stockpiling right now. Iverson Gray is stockpiling right now. What I mean by that is I'm just saving a lot of the content that I'm wanting to put out. I've made about, in this last year, I've made about 7 solid songs, 2 of which have been copywritten. One, I just got the links. I was, before you called, I was looking at the links that TuneCore, the distributing company, sent back to me from Spotify. So here soon we'll have a song out from Iverson Gray called Favor for a Favor. It's already on Spotify right now. You can go and find it, Favor for a Favor by Iverson Gray. But other than that, it hasn't made it to all the other stores. It'll be on Amazon Music. It'll be on the Play Store, iTunes, YouTube, and all of these things, Pandora and everything here soon, thanks to TuneCore. Other than that, like I say, Iverson Gray is just stockpiling, writing music, getting, you know, in connection with people who are in the same field. This morning I talked to one of my he's like a cousin, you know. He's a close family friend. His name is Oso Lote. He's an artist as well. Oso Lote, great artist, extreme rapper. When I tell you, this man is awesome. He'll a little dude, probably about 5'7", light skinned cat, and just, you know, the chillest person you ever want to meet in your life. But when I tell you, the man is mystical with his music. And he's like a grandmaster. He's like that ancient monk for me. You know what I'm saying? That gives me all the wisdom that I need in order to be able to make next steps, to be able to walk in my glory, man. Walk in the direction that I'm trying to get. You see what I'm saying? So I just talked to him this morning.
Yeah, that's good that you give. Yeah, go ahead.
He told me, man, just start writing.
That's good that you give credit where credit is due, man. You it's good to have a good producer. And you were talking about before we started this, I was trying to look around for songs that you had made or stuff that you had produced, but I only knew you as Jordan Hobbs, aka Iverson. I didn't know that this was an Iverson Gray persona, and now I'm gonna have the opportunity to go off and look for Iverson Gray on various social medias and find the Iverson Gray persona, which is the, you know, your stage name where you're putting out all the songs. Now you say you have five, and maybe two of them are fully produced that are out there for the world to hear, and they're on Spotify now. Or how is that working?
Well, you catch me at the beginning. I'm talking about at the beginning of the content phase. So this is where, you know, we start getting things published, actual songs starting to get put out, going through with getting things sent to distribution companies. Going through with getting songs sent to distribution companies. So the first song and the only song that will be out here in about us 2 solid weeks should be on all the social sites is Favor for a Favor. I'm releasing each one as a single to try to give them their own time. You know what I'm saying? Give them each song their own respect. You see what I'm saying? And when people start to want more, the next one will most likely be prepared to be put out. You see what I'm saying?
You are smart as can be. People are putting out solos, and I'm so glad that I'm here on the ground floor of Iverson Gray. You know, just the beginning, and I look forward to hearing more from you in time as things progress. So 2 weeks, we'll be looking for that Favor for a Favor song, and man, it'll just snowball from there, or go. It's all uphill or downhill or however, man. It's skyrocket from there, whatever metaphor you want to use.
You know, it's just going.
Absolutely. Moving forward, man, I appreciate that. So we're just in the beginning, and that's why I couldn't find anything online to listen to. I mean, I did see that you have a some kind of a movie that you were involved in. It's one of the latest posts that you did. My first featured film, Jordan Hobbs. It's from Freddie Miller. What's that all about?
Yes, so no, Freddie Miller is another great local artist. He's from Little Rock, Arkansas. When I tell you, the man is so, what's the word? Soulful. He's a really soulful artist. He's one that takes his like personal life experiences and twists them into, you know, visual presentations so good to where it makes you feel like you were actually, you know, in that situation before. And that's what I liked about, you know, when he offered me to be in, you know, the video, I like that about him already because I've seen some more of his other work. Freddie has been doing La Familia is their group name. They've been doing, oh my God, music. I know for at least the last decade and a half, at least the last 15 years, they've been doing music here in Little Rock. So when he offered me the opportunity to be in the film, you know, he told me about the role. He said, man, I'm not going to lie to you. It's something that happened, you know what I'm saying, to me a couple of years ago, bro. This chick had cheated on me, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't even know who the dude was, but I had no clue she had cheated on me. And it's the song I need to make, man. And I don't want to make no bad blood between me and you, so are you good with it? And, you know, the actor in me was like, what? This is an opportunity for my face to be seen?
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I went for it, bro. I went for it, Dan. And, It turned out to be a really beautiful video. So everybody go check it out. It's on the page. It's on my Jordan Hobbs, my Facebook page. Should be one of the last posts, like you said. Mm-hmm. La Familia, shout out to them. Freddie Miller, great job with that video, man. And whenever we got some more work ready to get put out, just, hey, notify me, Freddie. I know you're watching now.
Absolutely, man. Jordan Hobbs, Iverson Gray, just on the ground floor. I mean, things are looking up right here in Central Arkansas, in the Little Rock area, Little Rock, Arkansas, going out to the world, man. And we're going to find out. You follow him and find out more. Now, you've already said that we could follow you on your Facebook page at the Jordan Hobbs page, but I'm guessing you're going to be branding Iverson Gray all over the place. Have you started to do that with your Instagrams or Twitters or anything?
Yeah, so sure. My Instagram, which is Brown Gold, 2 N's, 2 D's, underscore in the middle. Me and my cousin Pierre, the one I told you is the motivation for me. He's he is like awesome on TikTok. The man is incredible. I know TikTok is the new wave. I haven't even caught up with TikTok that much. But the man gets thousands of views on TikTok. And, you know, he was like, he had an idea yesterday. We were just sitting around one of our friends. He had an idea about a video to do. And we were just saying, oh, my God. It was a voiceover. TikTok, they had a voiceovers. And he said that it's already gotten hundreds of views already. That's one of the ones I just posted yesterday. And another video. It's a challenge that I've personally taken upon myself to start for an artist named Young Blue with the Badass Syndicate. He's one of Lil Boosie's artists, Boosie Badass. His name is Young Blue, YungBlew. I call it the Miss It Challenge. It's featuring one of his songs called Miss It. And in it, I've gotten about almost 1,500 views on Instagram now. So, you guys go and check that out. Follow the Miss It Challenge. Do the challenge. You know what I'm saying? If you can sing, or if you know somebody that can sing, do the challenge. Why not? Don't be scared. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to run your life being a scared person all your life when you got all kind of talents you just boiling over with. You know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely, Iverson Gray. As people are self-quarantining, social distancing, they're hungry for that content, man. And you putting out that good content. And Pierre, hey, it's good to have a Pierre, man. Everybody needs one of those to kind of keep you going and keep you moving through things. And yeah, reaching out. Go ahead, continue.
Not French, nor does he know how to cook it.
I'm sorry, you cut out on me. Say that last thing again.
I said, Pierre, he's not French. Nor does he know how to cook it.
But he knows how to kick it with Iverson Gray. He knows how to kick it. Can I kick it?
That's right.
Yes, I can. All right, man. Well, we learned a little bit about you. I mean, I'm thinking we can wind this down a little bit. I mean, any other avenues that you're exploring these days? Yes, we're in the novel COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. People are locked up inside, but the creators are still finding ways to create, man. Instead of me going out on the streets and DJing parties out there, I'm talking to people, having some good conversations, and I'm learning about Iverson Gray right now, as well as my loyal listeners are learning as well. But, you know, any other avenues that as we break out of the house, what are you going to be doing after? What's the first thing you're going to do when we can get out? I think coming up in the next week or two, they're thinking about opening up some more economic things.
Yes, so sure. My first destination, me and one of my other good friends, his rap name is Fatso. So he used to run with this group called the A-State Band Runners, I believe is what they were called. The A-State Hustlers. Shout out to A-State Band Runners. They're good, too. A-State Hustlers. Back in the day, they used to run the hip-hop scene in the greater Pulaski County area. So me and him have decided, man, we're going to shoot to Dallas, man. We're going to go out to Dallas. We're going to have a ball. Let's take a trip. You know, let's go see some people, connect with some folks, you know, network, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's what our plan is. You know, how that goes, we have no clue because we don't know what the day will bring us tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? But that's the plan. Go and make some connections, see some family, even take a chance to get out on the stage, you know what I'm saying, with some of the new content we got ready. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You got those songs. You took the time to produce them. You took the time to write it and fully produce them. Now you could be a featured artist. And maybe you can go to one of these shows where, okay, these guys only have maybe one, two, maybe five songs. They can't do a whole concert, but you can definitely be a featured act in one of these compilation concerts. I know I enjoy doing those, going to those to where I can see some new acts as they're trying to break out and see if what they're doing is what they should be doing. And I suspect that you're going to be that guy singing your song out there amongst a whole group of artists. Yeah, it's going to happen real soon. Real soon. I see it.
Oh yeah.
Well, I look forward to hearing that song. And if you'd like, I can play it on my radiowhat.com that's sitting right behind me, and we'll put it out to the world, man. Iverson Gray. Now, I usually wind these things down with the last words for the people. And this is a point for you, Jordan Hobbs, a.k.a. Iverson Gray. You can give people a little idea, something that you've words to live by, something you've heard, or whatever words that come to mind in this particular moment. Jordan Hobbs, Iverson Gray, last words for the people.
Absolutely. The first thing that comes to my mind is definitely keep God first. Whatever you have going on in your life, make sure that the first part of whatever you have involved, whether it's, you know what I'm saying, your introduction to the world, make sure that you keep God first. Second, I like what Lil Baby said, the rapper Lil Baby from Atlanta. He said, work hard and determined. Work hard and determined. Get your content prepared. If you're an artist, or if you're a minister, or if you're a cook, get your skill honed. You know what I'm saying? Get your whatever it is you're working on, get it perfected before you go on and attack anything. You see what I'm saying? Because you have to be prepared for the bracket once you get in there. Because a lot of times people are not prepared for how quickly things take off. They think it'll be such a slow start, and then they have an overwhelming amount of business, and they have no way of containing it because they don't have the material to put out. Get your material prepared. Get your material prepared and show love. Give credit where credit is due. Like my man Dan said, give credit where credit is due.
Well, there you have it, party people. Iverson Gray. Jordan Hobbs is his real name, but Iverson Gray, that's the man. That's the persona, the creator, the singer, the songwriter, the filmmaker. Actor, public speaker, look for Iverson Gray. I'm sure he's going to start branding that real soon. I know his stuff is kind of out there a little bit, but we're on the ground floor. We're in the beginning of Iverson Gray, and you're going to find out more about him. I look forward to hearing that song coming up real soon. I'm kind of stoked, man. I heard just the little bits that he was singing during the podcast. He's got some pipes. I think he's got the skills to pay the bills, and he's got plenty of collaborators that will help him along the way. Pierre. He said he's got a French name, but he can't cook French. Yeah. And that laugh that he got from his dad. Ha ha. Just contagious, man. Contagious. I hope he laughs like that all the time. Yeah, keep joy in your heart, my man. And for all of you, definitely keep joy in your heart. Thank you so much, Jordan Hobbs, Iverson Gray, for being on the program, What Makes You Famous. If you'd like to tell your story, this time I'm turning and facing the camera and facing the microphone more, and I want to hear from you, my loyal listener. If you'd like to tell your story, I encourage you to give me a call at 501-470-6386 or email info@radiowhat.com. That's it for me. It's Keys Dan, radiowhat.com, djlittlerock.com. Peace. I'm out of here.
If you like what you hear, follow What Makes You Famous social media. Use the hashtag What Makes You Famous. Follow on Facebook at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Instagram at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Twitter at Makes Famous. And follow on YouTube at Keys Dan. Leave What Makes You Famous podcast a review and subscribe. Listen to What Makes You Famous podcast on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and almost anywhere you find podcasts. Tell your story on my podcast, What Makes You Famous. Call 501-470-6386 and leave a message to set up a time. You can support What Makes You Famous using the PayPal link, paypal.me/KeysDan. Email info@radiowhat.com. What Makes You Famous podcast is a production of Keys Dan Enterprises Incorporated at keysdan.com. Thank you for listening.
Radio What, the music you want, with some great quotes.
Man will occasionally stumble over the truth, but most times he will pick himself up and carry on. Winston Churchill.
The music you want, radiowhat.com.
This is Keys Dan.
And this is Shelly G.
And you're listening to
RadioWhat.com.